A reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. Jesus walks on the water. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. From this passage we can see that Jesus Christ attended to the needs of the disciples first and sent them off on the boat. Then he farewelled all the people and sent them on their way. Only then did Jesus go off up the hill by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. Our task as baptized Christians is to follow in Jesus' footsteps. Keep on attending to the needs of others, seeing people off on their way. Then, when all is done, then we can be alone to pray. This is generally what we set out to do. But even though we're generously involved in the best of ministries, things can go dramatically wrong from time to time. In the midst of the storm, the disciples did not recognize Jesus. They were terrified and they screamed with fear. And perhaps we're just the same. At times of crisis, often the worst of us comes out. A farmer in our parish shared an example of his own experience earlier on this year. He was at a very low ebb in his life and didn't know what to do. And at Mass one day, the first reading was the call of Samuel. At the end of the reading, he grumped away to God desperately and said, "If only you'd talk to me as you did to Samuel, I'd know what to do." And with that, a little toddler came to where he was sitting and smiled beatifically at him. Our farmer felt that God had heard his cry and reached out to him through that child. Ever since then, he has talked over with God all his ups and downs. He's a little man now, with a twinkle in his eye, close to God all the time, I feel. Did you ever make a supreme effort to reach out and follow Jesus in the same regard and then everything falls to custard? It's so easy to be completely swamped. We see all the problems, the difficulties, and we flounder around, drown in windy waves washing over our project. But recalling that Jesus Christ is there, reaching out in the middle of the night, after the style of Peter in the scripture passage, is a big help. Jesus reaches out to us through others, and sometimes we're called to be the one who reaches out. When we focus on ourselves, it doesn't work. With today's readings, we talk too a call to worship as the disciples did in that boat when Jesus saved Peter from drowning in the waves. Now, the 3rd of August is also the anniversary of the death of an American author. She died 45 years ago. And she is quite interesting in that she was ill for most of her life with a disease called lupus disease, which meant that she was, her energy was sapped, and she was confined to her mother's farm. It was a debilitating disease. And she died at quite an early age, I think of 39. But she wrote several novels. And she was interesting because, I'll give you a wee quote now. Her name is Flannery O'Connor. She saw the crisis of faith in a religionless age, a time when it's so much easier not to believe, when nihilism is the gas we breathe. Often she stressed the cost of faith. I think there's no suffering greater than what is caused by the doubts of those who want to believe. I know what torment this is, but I can only see it in myself anyway, as the process by which faith is deepened. What people don't realize is how much religion costs. They think faith is a big electric blanket, when of course it's not. So often we look to our faith for comfort, when in actual fact we're called upon to walk out on those stormy waves with the wind battering against us, reaching out, being carried on the way by Jesus himself.